You're listening to the Mind Made Wrong podcast, presented by Steel Maggie, episode number 16.
Good day, my beautiful creators. How are you? You better say amazing, because that's going to make at least one of us. I will catch up to that energy by the end of our time today, because we all feed off each other, don't we? And energy is contagious, so I only want to catch the good shit, sweetheart. Speaking of incredibly beautiful creators with amazing energy, today I have a very special interview guest for you all. It is the bananas beautiful, lovely vocalist, singer extraordinaire, Dexy. Hello. Say hello to the people.
Hello, everybody. How are you?
They are absolutely amazing because I told them to be. So,
oh, definitely.
Ask,
definitely.
You don't ask for what you don't get what you don't ask for, right?
No, exactly. Exactly.
Lovely. I mean, I had to ask you and I got you.
Hey. Hello.
Yeah, exactly. practice what you preach. Absolutely. Okay. So just before we get started, I want you to tell us all where we can find you right off the bat.
Okay.
Projects, so, Instagram, Twitter.
Okay. So my Instagram is at XO Dexy, and that's spelled XODEXIE. Don't forget the E, because a lot of people mix it up as DEXI, and I'm like, no, there's an E at the end. And then Twitter is Dexy Martin, and then my YouTube, I don't remember my exact URL, but just type in Dexy and you should be fine.
I haven't seen anyone with that name at all, so.
Well, good.
Yeah, of course. I mean, well, trademark it.
trademark that shit.
I need to do that. I need to trademark Steel Maggie. I'm Steel Maggie HQ on Instagram because like someone randomly is like Steel Maggie, and I looked and their account and they're like inactive, but I'm like, what is wrong? Like, what can we like?
I really like that though. I really like that though, because it makes me think of like Steel Maggie headquarters or something. So.
Yeah. I know. It's like, this is the world. This is the universe. This is me. I don't know if you know of an artist called Femme.
Femme?
Femme. Yeah.
Like F-E-M-M-E?
Yeah.
I, that sounds really familiar. I can't say that I know them, but I know I've read that somewhere.
Yeah. She's this really cute little blonde, like, tiny like petite little pixie haircut. I saw her at a Charlie XCX concert. She was opening and I followed her immediately because I loved her, but she was Femme HQ, obviously, because Femme is obviously taken. And so I kind of stole that from her.
So oh, we love that. I took my XO Dexy from a drag queen that I really like. Because her name is Sonique, and she obviously, Sonique is taken, so she's XO Sonique, and I like the XO because, you know, hugs and kisses, so.
I love it. See, it's something borrowed, something new, something old, something blue. It's all the same.
No, yeah, exactly.
Everyone has someone else's Instagram handle. It's fine. All right, so I want to get into it. Okay. Talk to us. Reveal, discuss, elaborate on how you started as a singer and how you found your true voice. Because guys, you're gonna check Dexy out and you're gonna just be floored by just the etherealness, like the celestial goddess of voice that is. I cried. Like you sent me that cover and oh my goodness. Okay, anyway.
Oh well, first off, thank you so much. Oh my god. That is so nice. You know, I still feel like that I am on a journey of finding my true voice, if that makes sense.
Well, you fooled me.
Well, you know, like, 'cause, okay, So I started out as a singer, like when I was really, really young, actually. I was, I want to say about like 3 or 4.
Oh, and, yeah, of course.
Yeah, 3 or 4. And my mom started to notice that I could babble stuff in tune. And she like, and I'm so thankful because like, because you know how like there's some parents where they're like, you know what, well, we shouldn't push them towards being a musician because like they need a more stable kind of thing. Like,
yeah,
my parents were the kind of parents where they were like, they were so supportive of everything. So like, there's a bunch of home videos of me like growing up of like me standing in the front of the living room, just belting out and singing. And my mom's always like, woo, yeah, and everything. From the beginning, she was always like, she had such a belief in me. And like, I really feel like that instilled my passion for music because my mom was so passionate about me doing it.
Yeah, she was passionate about you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is beautiful. Oh my goodness. That is so rare too.
Yeah. My parents are my number one. And I always think like when I'm, you know, like either writing music or just going up to perform, even if like my parents aren't there, I still pretend they're in the audience because like just knowing that like that belief system is there to like push you up with your own belief. It's just an extra thing where like you always give your best, even if like the ones you love aren't present, you know?
Mm-hmm. Wow. So,
but yeah, as far as like my true voice and everything, because obviously I am a transgender individual. I feel like, yes, the voice that I am singing with right now is true. It is the voice I was given, but mm-hmm. I feel like I'm still waiting for the voice that I need to get to.
Oh, okay. I completely see that. And I know your voice has, you know, evolved for sure. So that would mean as you go through your transition, with the hormones and everything, it would morph into your actual true vision of what you want to sound like.
Yeah, exactly. And but another beautiful thing is also is when you really think about it, does voice really have a gender in itself?
No, absolutely not. That is so interesting.
Because I've had a lot of deep talks with my parents, because again, my parents are my number one support system. But I've had major talks with him about like my voice regarding my transition and everything. My mom made a really, really good point where she said, well, she was like, sure, you were born male, but she was like, but your voice doesn't know that.
Oh my God. Oh my God. That is like so deep. I've never thought about it that way.
She's like, your voice doesn't know that. She said, your voice has the capability of going so low and so high. So who's to say that your voice is a male in the first place?
You are other. You are the piano. You're not.
No, exactly. And so that really also, like, I mean, I still want to evolve into the artist that I know I am meant to be and the artist I already am in a sense, but I'm just still waiting for that next level. But that next level comes with me fully coming into my true self. And so I feel like my true voice is going to come when I finally evolve into that true self.
Wow. So. Okay. You just like, you came right off the bat. I'm already slain. I'm already hit with words. So you, you're in school right now.
Yes.
How is that? Talk to us. How is that going? How is that inspired some of the changes that have gone on? Obviously not with your transition, but how has that affected all of this?
Okay, so I'm currently going into my third year studying music industry studies at Cal Poly.
Woo!
And and it's really inspired me to keep doing what I love to do, especially the Songwriter Showcase Ensemble that I just got into.
Absolutely.
Last semester, it was eye-opening because like I got to work with people that work within the industry I want to go into. And it was just so like, it added fuel to the fire, me being like, this is it. This is what I want to do. And like, when you see people who are so passionate about what they do, it just incites so much change within yourself. I just love Cal Poly's music program as well, because it is such a circle of belief and support. Because like, you know how when you're in, I'm going to go off on a tangent, I'm sorry.
It's okay, no, please, this is the space.
Like, you know how like when you're, I don't know how your high school experience was, but like if you were like a music kid in high school, it was always like, who has to be better than the other? Like,
oh my God. Like Glee Club and Rachel Berry and all this shit.
Yeah. Oh my God. Oh my gosh. Yes. Yes, exactly. Like, it's like, who has to be better than the other? And if you're better than me, I hate you. That environment is so toxic, and it puts like such a damper on your individuality and your uniqueness and everything.
And your creativity.
Yes, and your creativity, and it affects you so much, and you start to wonder, like, is this what I'm supposed to be doing? But then when you step into an environment like Cal Poly, Pomona, and their music department, it really shows you that, like, all your questions and all your doubts and all your fears, not that they're invalid because those are your thoughts and feelings, but, like, Cal Poly shows you that, like, you had no reason to be feeling like that in the first place, because, like, it is such a close-knit group of people that love you and want to see you do well and appreciate you for the talent and the art that you create.
I think they should pay you, because you're totally like selling Cal Poly. Like, you need to get a percentage of all the tuition.
You know what? If I could, I would, honey. But like, I love that program so much. Because when I was going into my freshman year, I started out as a theater major because I let my perception of people in music from high school deter my route in my college thinking. And that was one of the stupidest mistakes I've ever made in my life. And I can't tell you how inspiring it is to be in a program that not only looks at you seriously as a student, but they also look at you seriously as an artist.
Yes, absolutely. You know, I met you there or at a party, but
yeah. I met party you. Girls.
Yes. Party girls. we just missed each other, didn't we? I graduated and then I met you. But I felt the exact same way. It was like, oh, it's not all cats and scratches, you know? Yeah. Absolutely. So you were in the theater program. I didn't know about that. What made you make the change?
I was only in the theater program for about like maybe like 2 or 3 weeks.
Oh.
Because yeah, I started in theater and I did a couple of classes in theater and everything, but then I started to realize I'm not singing, I'm not using my voice. And I started to miss that so much. And so I was looking through all like the course catalogs and everything. And then my best friend, I met her at orientation. She was a music major and she was like, what are you doing? Just come to the music department if you miss your voice. And so, you know, like your friends that have your best interest at heart, they know exactly what you're doing or what you need to do when you're going through that struggle. She was like, you miss your voice. The music department uses your voice. Come on, girl, let's go. So I went in there and then I started off as music education. Because my parents were all like, you should try to become a music teacher and be like more practical about where you want to go. And personally, I always think me being an artist is totally practical, but there's nothing wrong with a backup plan. But, I started off in music ed and then I realized that that wasn't what I wanted to do. And so then I moved to vocal performance, which I thought was exactly what I wanted to do, but I found that I was studying the kind of music that I wasn't necessarily interested in. Mm-hmm. And not to shit on classical music, because it's there for a reason, and that is like, that is standard, that is like beautiful music. It's just not for me.
Right. It's a means to an end when you're developing your voice and studying, but it's not what you want to do as an artist.
No, yeah, exactly. And so then when I started looking into more of the music industry studies path, I found that like you are able to pursue what you want to do, all these recording classes, the internships, Like, there's so many opportunities for you to grow as the artist you want to be. And I just found that, like, you know, this is what I want to do. So you know what? I'm going to go study what I want to do. And so it was a long journey into finding, like, where I belong. But as soon as I found that I am here, I am staying, I am grounded, I am ready to grow even more.
Oh my goodness, roots. Roots. Yeah. I was low energy in the beginning, and now I'm already fired up, and it's been like 15 minutes.
Roots.
You got me going. I love it. Okay, yeah. So we're gonna do a little switch. Just so people can first hear your story, get to know you. Now, I want to talk about the theme of this podcast, Mind Made Wrong.
Okay.
And I want to ask you, was there ever a moment in your life when you felt or believed that your mind was made wrong? And if so, how did you go about the process of healing?
Oh my God, I could go on for so long about this. There have been many times in my life where I thought that I was made wrong and my mind was made wrong. Oh my goodness.
It's okay. It's okay.
Oh my God. So
discuss.
No, it's fine. Yeah. So, I mean, especially like with my transition, like coming into who I am, I mean, I haven't always identified as trans. So when I was 15, so from ages like maybe 10 to 15, I was like wondering, who am I? Because I know I don't fit in this cookie cutter. I'm not the shape that everybody else is. And so it took me a long time to realize that it's okay to be different from everybody else. So when I was 15, I came out as gay. And I was thinking, like, you know what? I'm starting to accept my differences from other people, and my differences are what make me beautiful. I was thinking, this is who I am. This is great. This is everything. And while I felt like I was healing, I also felt like that something was like entirely missing. Like, I felt like I was myself, but I feel like I was only a portion of who I am. If that makes sense.
Totally.
So, yeah. And so, like, I kept doing like all this soul searching, and I was thinking, like, well, Am I a drag queen? Am I not getting into drag and going and performing in drag, and that's what I'm missing? When I was 18, I started to get into makeup, and one of my best friends, she would teach me and help me. And then there was one time she did my makeup where, like, because like we would usually do like drag makeup and
outlandish and huge and
yeah, exactly, like the big eyebrows and the carved out cheekbones and stuff. Yeah. And there was one day I told her, like, can you do me more soft? Like, I want to look more feminine, or as like in drag queen terms, I want to look more fish.
Of course. Yes. You don't have to define that for me.
I want to look more fish. And so she's like, oh, yeah. No problem. No problem. And she did it. And then I remember I walked to my bathroom mirror and I looked and I started to cry because I finally felt that I had found, like, oh my gosh, this is the piece I've been missing, because I looked like how I've been picturing myself in my head for years. Mm-hmm. And like, and again, I know I'm far away from like hormone replacement treatment and everything like that, but like just being able to look in the mirror and see just what I've been picturing, I started to, like, it's the wheels started to turn, but I wasn't fully there yet. So then I did more soul searching, and then I allowed myself to come out as gender fluid. I was allowing myself to identify freely as both male and female, but with the safety net of still being male if I found out female wasn't who I am. But then as soon as I gave myself that freedom to identify as female, I started to realize that, like, my mind isn't made wrong. I've just been living in the wrong mind for so many years.
Whew. Wow. Please continue. I
found that I've been living in the wrong mind for so many years. And so as soon as I embraced my femininity and I embraced my womanhood and I found my footing, I cut the ropes of that safety net, and I just let myself, you know, come out like, I am Dexie, hear me fucking roar. This is me. And I can't tell you how, like, how therapeutic in itself is to be able to look back and think, like, you know what, all these questions, all these doubts, all these tears, like, they meant something. And it didn't mean that something was wrong with me. It just meant that I was fighting to become who I am today. I'm still on that journey, but the fact that I am here on that journey that I've been leading up to for so long, it shows me that, like, sure, I may have had my dark moments, but through those dark moments, there's been light, and I've been healing so much, and there's so much more healing to come, but I still feel so much better than how I was before. And I wish I could go back, and I wish I could look little Dexter in the eyes and say, like, it's okay, sweetie, you're going to be fine. I think he knows that. So
definitely. Yeah. So you kind of built that bridge back up with the, that inner child, I think.
Yeah, exactly.
The disconnect started to happen, that fracturing of identity.
Yeah, especially like as a child and everything too, because again, I was blessed with wonderful parents. When I was like maybe 3-4 years old, I was obsessed with Barbie. I wanted to play with nothing but Barbie. How old was I when I was 3? It was like, what, 2002? It was like 2002. It sounds crazy because it's only like what, like 17, 18 years ago. But like, that was not as a progressive time as we are in now. And the fact that like my parents still let me, like, you know, like just play with Barbies and let me be who I was at that time, like it really solidified like my, like, again, like, and I know it sounds weird being like 3 years old, but like not to feel ostracized or weird because you're not playing with the toys that you're meant to play with when you're a child. The fact that I was able to freely be myself and have my Barbies and my dollhouses and like the cars and everything, like, it just really like helped me come up. And but then I also like started to get jealous. I saw, like, growing up too, I would see like girls with pretty long hair and like wearing the makeup and all like all the clothes and all the accoutrement and everything, and I would feel so jealous because it's like I want to be that, but I am not that. But going up through that with like the displacement, because I have felt that my whole life, that wasn't just like with me. Because, like, my journey didn't start when I was, like, you know, coming out as gay and everything. Like, my journey has been going on since the day I took my first breath. The detachment and the displacement, like, it is such a traumatic time, but then it is also so necessary as well, because without that displacement and without that detachment and without, like, the uncertainty, nothing would have ever went the way that it has now. And so, like, yes, like, the displacement and the detachment is, like, kind of in a way, like, you wish it never happened, but then again, at the end of the day, you're so thankful for it. And
I need you to write songs about this. I need to hear all of it. I need an album.
All right,
we need it. We all need it, because I feel so inspired. Like, I do these interviews to inspire other people, but it's always me. You know, it's like the teacher ends up being taught. I'm not that kind of teacher, obviously, but I feel so grateful that you're sharing all of this with us, because it's you're 20, right?
Yeah, I just turned 20. Yes.
Yes. Oh, right. We have the same birthday.
Yes. We are birthday twins. We are.
We are soul birthday sisters. So yeah, I mean, I'm sitting here just turned 26, and you know way more, like, you're in a place that I only like dreamed of being. I'm now just kind of approaching that kind of maturity. But the fact that you're already acknowledging these things and you're already receiving these things in your soul is just, it's so beautiful to me. And I'm so glad that you're just sharing this, and you're going to share even more. Right. But I just want to thank you already. I'm taught. Let's move to the present. What is the most significant struggle you face currently when it comes to the relationship between your own mental health and working in music today?
Okay, that is a really interesting question. I'd say the biggest struggle with my mental health is it's the creation of content, because I really feel like certain mental states give you such fuel for material and for songwriting and everything. But like when you're, because right now I feel like I'm in a dry spell. I feel like I'm in a dry spell because I feel like because I've been cooped up in my house away from people all summer. And I feel like I haven't really had more life experience at the moment. So I don't really have a lot to, put down on paper and like punch out on the piano or anything. So I just feel like it's not that I want to be going through something, but it's like, I also want feel for more content to flow from my psyche. I don't know, like, cause I feel great mentally. I feel great. But like, you know, like it's almost as if like you want something to happen so that way you can write about it. And I know I have like this huge thing in front of me that I could write about, but like, have you ever, and here, let me pose a question on you if you don't mind.
Of course.
Have you ever been, like, have you ever found yourself stuck in a cycle of you're writing the same type of song, but it's like, it's not the same exact song, but it's the same message over and over and you can't get out of that loop. Have you ever had that?
You know, people who don't like my music would definitely say that about it. I think so. I have been, it hasn't been recent. But yes, no, to answer your question, yes. When it comes to, I think, for me, it's more technical. It's more the melodic patterns and the not the lyrical content. For me, at least, but it's the melodic patterns and the rhythms and the chord progressions. Sometimes I will get stuck in, you know, I don't want to write another Demolition Woman, and I haven't, but sometimes, I mean, you could probably consider Warning Label Demolition Woman Part 2. Even though it's very different, I do completely understand, like, where you're coming from, where it's like, I have so much to draw from, but you want it to be just you want it to be pulled out in this beautiful creative flourish with the muses singing and the and a lot of times it doesn't happen that way.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I feel like for me it's because like I always base what I write off of my mood. Like I never have a melody come first. I usually like, I think, okay, so this is how I'm feeling. And so what chord would match this feeling? And so then I'll find a chord progression based off of the mood I'm feeling. But then I always, like, one of my friends described it perfectly because I was talking to him about my music before and he literally went, sad songs are your brand. And I was like, okay, but like, I don't want to be known for just like, oh my gosh, hi, I'm Dexy. And all I sing is sad songs about like boys not loving me. We already have an artist that does that and she's kind of shat on a lot and I don't want to, I mean, good for her, but also like I don't want to be the next somebody else because I know I'm the only version of myself and I don't want to be branded for something that's been done before. Right. And so when I think about like my music, like I'm definitely proud of it and I'm definitely happy with like what I've created. But I also think like I need to find a way to break out of this cycle because like, again, with like my mental health and everything, like I feel great, but like when I can't create stuff that I'm feeling, that's when I start feeling so trapped and closed in because I feel like I'm not letting everything I have to say out. But the thing is like, I feel like I haven't had my breakthrough, like, songwriter moment, if that makes sense.
It's coming. It's coming. It will. It will. But the thing with that, I know it's funny. No one's ever said that phrase before, but we totally have multiple of those. So don't worry, okay? And when you have it, there's going to be more. There's going to be more afterwards. And they just get better. Yeah, they just get better and better and better. I'm gonna, when I release Out of Eden, people don't, it's not released yet. It probably will be released at the end of the year. But it's this, that, that is my current magnum opus, you know? So it's, but I know, you know, I feel like I can't get better than that, but I know that I can. So that was a songwriter moment for me. And what I want to say, to you is it's the most absolutely, backwards way to think about it because, but it really works. So what I would pose to you is to fix this, dry spell is to write every single day at the same time. Just wake up, maybe say, wake up, have your coffee, you know, eat whatever you do. And before you go to work, you know, you just write something. You take an hour, just write. It doesn't have to be a full song. It doesn't have to be a full anything. You just write what you're feeling, write what you're thinking about, whatever it is. And you make that a practice. It's actually part of this guy's kind of protocol. It's not The Art of War, which is like an old classic, but it's called The War of Art by Stephen Pressfield. And what he says is that resistance will meet us every day. If we are truly pros at what we do, resistance will meet us every day. But who a pro is the person that does it anyway, that does the work anyway, that writes the 10 pages anyway, even though those 10 pages may be shit. And the funny thing about this is once you start to do this, you start to, I guess, prove in due diligence to the universe that you are, this is your pursuit. And then things start to break, things start to come, and you will have dry spells, of course.
Yeah.
But this has helped me so much. So I just like you, when you brought that up, I was just like, I have to share this with you because, and anyone else out there who's listening, who has a dry spell, do your craft every single day for an hour or however much it takes to like write a verse or write a page of the novel you're working on or make a fucking ceramic bowl. I don't know. You know, that's a pro. That's a pro. An amateur is someone who does it for fun and gets discouraged. Obviously, I'm not calling you an amateur because you are a pro, sweetheart. But when you get ahead of the resistance, because the resistance is always going to be there. It's always going to be there right when you wake up telling you, yeah, you're just going to write the same thing over and over again. So why try? You're just going to do this, the same thing over and over again. You're just going to be the sad girl, right? That writes sad boys don't love me music. And and that's a pro because you have a higher vision. You have to prove that wrong every single day. And it's an every single day thing. So I went on about that, but I just needed to impress upon everyone how important that is if you want to get out of the spell. You have to, sacrifice to the muses, basically.
Yeah, and I'm so thankful for that too, because those are words I have needed to hear. And I feel like I'm only freaking out about it so much is because this is like my first huge dry spell. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, oh God, like I'm kind of freaking out. But like, now that I know, like it's always supposed to be an uphill battle. Like part of me knew that, but also part of me was just like, nah, it's going to come easily when it comes, but no, resistance will meet me every day. And yeah. Okay. I just got to fight the resistance. Okay, cool.
Yeah, we're not exceptional here. Like it happens to every single artist, and the ones who are great fight it every single day. They do it anyway. Yeah. So that's one of my favorite books, by the way. I will put that in the show notes. You should read it. It's called The War of Art. It's not Art of War by Lao Tzu, but it's The War of Art by Stephen Pressfield. Okay. So thank you so much for sharing that with us, because that was very useful. Sometimes I need to remind myself of that as well. I forget things. I forget things so easily. So now I want to ask you, from your perspective as a trans singer, what do you see as the biggest pain point for LGBTQ plus mental health in 2019? And it's a two-parter. So the second part of the question is, what ways do you think music is able to shine a light on what most are not paying attention to?
I really think that the biggest pain point for the community is, I really feel like it's the fear of just not being understood and the fear of like never being fully accepted and treated like people, because that's who we are. It's like, I don't want to get hate for this, but like, I understand we are LGBTQ people, but like at the end of the day, we are also all people. And I feel like the biggest pain point for people in that community, yeah, it's just the fear of just not being seen as a realized person, as a realized being, as a realized entity in this universe we call home. And I would say for trans artists especially, it's the fear of always being labeled as, oh, you're a trans artist, you're not a real artist. And
has someone said that to you?
No, nobody's ever said that to me, but I know that that's a big problem for trans.
I was about to throw hands.
that's never been said to me, but I know it's a huge problem within the industry, because again, like, the sad reality of it is like, transgender people still in 2019, like, we have made leaps and bounds, but we are still not seen as fully realized people, because there's still people out there who think that that our minds are made
wrong,
and that our like, our journey isn't a journey at all, because we're confused. It's like, no, honey, I know exactly who I am. I know who I am. I am an artist. I am a woman. I am everything that I was put on this earth to be. And I know that, like, within the industry, like, especially for trans artists, that biggest pain point is of course you are who you are, but like, you are always pushed up against a glass ceiling because you are a trans artist. You are never able to transcend above that glass ceiling and shatter through it, because again, you are not cis, you are not, it's a sad reality, but that's the thing. But there is a certain artist out there who I feel like she is really doing the impossible and breaking through that glass ceiling. Her name is Kim Petras, and she is an artist who happens to be transgender, and that's the way I like to put it. She is like reaching levels that like a lot of trans artists really haven't before. And another notable person who is really breaking through that, she's not a singer per se, but Laverne Cox, she is a trans actress. She's an icon. She's amazing. Both Kim and Laverne, they are really showing that like, we are people, and we are talented, and we are beautiful, and we are more than what you see me as. And I just really feel like until like the world is finally able to realize that, like, yes, we are people, we are not the gender that we were assigned at birth, but the thing is, we are still people, and my blood is red, the air I breathe is the same as yours, and until you can see me with true eyes, like, there's always going to be that pain point. But the thing is like, you don't let that pain overtake you, you let that pain inspire you to go out there, and you shatter through that glass ceiling, and you show people that, like, if I can do it, so can you. You know?
Yes. You are so well spoken. I'm just like, I'm listening. I'm listening. I'm hearing it.
Thank you. And it's just, as far as like music shining a light on everything, I'm a firm believer that music has the power to cut through anything and to hit you at the deepest roots of your soul. And I really feel like if you use your message to show people that, like, this is the world we live in, and if you want the change, be the match that starts that fire. Like,
I love that quote.
Thank you. If music wasn't there to show people like the darkest corners and the brightest parts and the deepest valleys of your soul, like what else do we have? Like, yes, we have words and we have books, but there is nothing on this earth that stimulates you the way that music does. And like, I'm sorry, but like, it's like, when I'm able to hear the first chord of a song and burst into tears, like I mean, I don't know if it's just because I'm a musician and maybe I have a deeper like sense into that, but like when something literally strikes a chord in your soul and you just like those floodgates open, there is nothing else on this earth. At least in my perception, again, I am only 20. Maybe I haven't experienced so many things, but I just feel like there is nothing on this earth like music that really shines that light. And not only like to show your face, but it shines the light into your persona, into your psyche, into everything else that really shows like, wow, like music makes my true colors shine. And yeah.
That you're on the podium. You're on the podium and I'm saying amen. Amen. Absolutely. I mean, sometimes like a guest will say something I'm just struck by and I just like, yeah, there is nothing to add to that, or else I'm just kind of pouring shit onto whatever they said. So what I want to correct myself then, and because you said something really interesting. You said I totally see how the trance is kind of like this glued on prefix to trans singer, trans artist, trans, you know, whatever the fuck, chef, you know.
And let me clarify too, is that is the glued prefix. And also like, again, it is something to be proud of, but it's also like, again, like there may be artists out there who are totally fine with, yes, I'm a trans artist because that is who I am. And like, again, I share that same mentality, but it's also like, I still want to be seen as an artist as well.
Yeah. So would you prefer, I'd like to change my language to say, an artist who is transgender. Is that better?
Personally, I think so. I mean, again, I am not a like political activist. I'm not a social justice leader. So if there's any of your listeners who like start a fire over this, I am so sorry. But
I mean, this is why we talk about it.
And I, personally, I feel like an artist who happens to be transgender, I feel like that is fine because like, again, there may be other people out there that are completely fine with that glued prefix. And I am proud to be a transgender woman. I am proud of all of this. But at the end of the day, when it comes to my music, like I don't want my music to be labeled as
trans music.
I don't want to say trans music, but like I want because I know how the world views trans people, and yeah. I feel like my art won't be taken as seriously. I feel like if you compare art to like art that hangs in the Louvre, I feel like my art would be art that you find in like on a sidewalk that gets washed away by water.
Mm.
You know? And mm-hmm. So I mean, I feel like an artist who is transgender is completely fine. I really feel like it is because like you still acknowledge who they are, but then you also say like, aside from that, they are an artist.
Yeah, as primarily, you know, they are an artist who happens to have something different than
a different path of life than you are.
Than most of us. Yeah, absolutely. That kind of perfectly leads me to my next question, which I want to ask you: what are some ways that you think that allies in the music industry and kind of the community in general, because sometimes it can, with all the pressure, can cave in on itself. So that we can all be kind of more helpful. What are some of those ways, if you have any?
You know, I feel like one of the biggest allies in the music industry ever is Mother Gaga, Lady Gaga.
Uh-huh.
She has, like, without even like having people ask her to, she has taken on the struggles of so many of us on her shoulders. And she has shown the world that like, they are to be treated as people. They are to be respected. They like, cause they're just like me and you, like, you know, like put your paws up. You're born this way, bitch. Like she is just everything. And I just feel like you don't have to be exactly like Lady Gaga because nobody can be her. But I feel like if you adopt her thinking and you just, you look at the world and you look at people as like, so they're different from me, but so what? They're beautiful. They're beautiful. And I just really feel like if, I mean, because obviously there are so many artists out there who treat people like us as people. And I just, I really feel like don't treat me special. Don't treat me special. Like there's issues I go through. And as long as you are with me in that fight, that is amazing. But like, I'm not fragile. I'm not something that can be broken easily, because I feel like there's a lot of people out there who look at people like us as like these fragile beings who are constantly under oppression. But like, the thing is like the oppression doesn't add to our fragility. The oppression adds to our resiliency. I really feel like not only with the strength of the LGBTQ community, but added with the strength of allies who really just like support and are there and just treat the music and treat the life that we live is just something that we all go through. I just really feel like as soon as that happens, that is when everything will be the milk and honey that runs through the river.
Absolutely. I keep saying absolutely, and I feel a little bit like Gia Gunn, but I have and I'm like, I'm tired of myself. I'm tired of myself. I just want you to like continue the rest of the podcast and just like kind of just put me out of it, because I'm just listening. I'm a listener at this point. But what I thought about is a lot of times allies can tend to handle situations and people, you know, in this community as with kid gloves. And mm-hmm. like you said, if anything, it shows that you are even stronger, you know, like it's what you go through is only it's a bolster of strength rather than making you weaker and fragile. And, I just think that's such an important distinction for people to hear, and for you to make.
Thank you.
Because it's easy with the climate, you know, while it is so, so good and important that like these issues are out there, it starts to get a little bit the other, you know, like, oh, and you kind of think about it as like the starving African children, you know, that we need to, you know, protect and, you know, kind of... what's the word? I think it's like white knight or something. But it's not, that's not how it is. You know, we're talking about really, really strong communities here. And yes, there are things that we really need to support, with, but, that can be done side by side, not from a trying to pull, yank you up by the bootstraps, you know, with a,
yeah.
like dangling, you're not dangling from the roof of a skyscraper, you know, that's not how it is. And I feel like that's kind of the way you're treated a little bit. You're not flailing.
Yeah. I'm not flailing. I'm flying.
Yes. I'm not flailing. I'm fine.
Yeah,
I'm gonna tweet that right now.
I'm not flailing, I'm flying, honey, in the clouds. Yeah. Right.
Yes. Oh my god. So we're almost winding down here. I'm wanted to ask you, I'm starting to think of in terms of vision and legacy lately, because I'm on the other side of 25 now. So you're so young, but I already see you using your voice to unashamedly proclaim who you are. And as evidenced by this podcast, obviously, you know, all of the things that you stand for and you showing us that it's our duty to do the same for ourselves. So what is your vision for the future? What impact are you seeking to make through music and your message? And you kind of already shared it. But if we could get even more specific.
I want to say my vision for my career in music. I really want to be that inspiration to other trans individuals or queer individuals or even just like hetero cis individuals. I want to be that extension of like the hand with the olive branch to show like we are created as we are supposed to be. And I want my career to stand as a sanctuary for people who feel like they are not accepted, who feel like they are marginalized, who feel like they are in the minority, like to feel like that, like you are the majority, you are the central character in your life. Like I want my career to stand as a sanctuary for all of those who feel like they have none.
That is your manifesto.
That is my manifesto.
On your wall every single day you wake up, Miss Dexy. Put it on there. Plaque it. Do what you have to do. Weld it into your skin. That's very painful. Yes. Please don't do that.
Yes, I want my music to serve as a home for people who feel like that they necessarily don't have one or they're still searching for one. I can't say that I have necessarily felt like I have never had a home, but I have felt marginalized. I have felt like I'm in the minority. I have felt like I don't deserve a central place in my life. As crazy as that may sound, but like I still share in the feeling of knowing like I'll find where I belong, and like I have found where I belong. And I want people to be able to listen to my music and listen to my words and listen to my stories. And I want them to be able to relate and feel like, oh my gosh, I'm not the only one who feels like this. And I want people to be able to not only love my music and to love me, but I want people to be able to love themselves, because that's what's most important. And as far as legacy goes, I hope that I am lucky enough to be a name that is remembered in this, like on this earth we call home, as long as we have this earth, according to climate change, but that's another story. If I'm lucky enough to be remembered, I want my legacy to show that, like, yes, I was a beautiful artist and I had beautiful music, but more importantly, my music spawned beautiful people. And I feel like that's what the world needs more of lately, especially in times like this, where you can't even say an opinion without being attacked for it. And I know it's like a big thing to say, but like I really want my art and my music to help inspire people to you know, like push that negative thinking out of your life and appreciate the world for what it is, because it's beautiful and you're beautiful. And can I get a reminder of the second part of the question?
You did it. Oh. You said it. It was the impact that you're seeking to make, and that is the impact.
Okay.
It's
all
absolutely
right.
I mean, I feel like it's weird to have a mentor who's younger than me, but you're my mentor. Okay.
Okay.
I found my pop mother. You know what I'm saying? Not my drag mother, but my pop mother.
Hello.
Hello. Oh my goodness. You are so beautiful. You're a beautiful creator. This has been so powerful for me. Like I'm actually sweating right now, and not just because it's like 5,000 degrees outside, but I am like sweating from impact. Like I can't put into words. Like I'm usually not dumbstruck by what someone has to say. Like so a lot of times I am, because I'm I'm scatterbrained, but like, I have, this is so powerful to me. And I know it's going to be so, so powerful to everyone else. I just want to have one more question, if that's all right.
That's perfectly fine.
Absolutely. How have you created beautiful things in 2019? And what are your plans to continue to create beautiful things in this year that is almost, not almost over, but like 3/4, right? That's so
sweet. Yeah, we have 4 months left of this year.
I want to cry.
I feel like I've created a lot of beautiful things in 2019. And some of the things that have, like, that I've created, in a way, they've already been there. But like, I mean, I've created more beautiful art, even if I don't see it as beautiful, because it always has the potential to be beautiful. I've built beautiful relationships with people I've known. And like, I've rebuilt bridges, and I have, I feel like aside from my journey of coming to myself, I feel like I'm also on this journey of repairing myself and repairing the way that I think and repairing, like, just the way that I look at everything as well, because I used to be a very negative person. I really used to be. And I still have my moments where my negativity shines through and I'm like, okay, girl, you need to back the fuck up. I'm like, you need to back the fuck up. But I feel like, in a way, the repairing and the healing of myself is helping to create a more beautiful version of myself, because they say you attract more bees with honey than you do with vinegar. And you know what? If I can go out there and attract more people with my beautiful self and my beautiful healed and self-loved and just fully supported, not only by me, but by my friends and my family and the people that I hold near and dear to my heart, I would rather live my life being happy than being secluded and negative by myself. And as far as my plan for creating other beautiful things goes, I want to continue being a better version of myself, because every day there is a new height to be reached. There is a new mountain to climb. There's a new road to go down. And you never know, if you don't go up that mountain, go down that road, you never know. And so, like, I like sticking to what I know, but I also just want to, like, oof, like, it's such a well-known line, but like, I don't want to be afraid of the unknown anymore. And I want to turn what's unknown into beautiful knowledge and just to make my future and others' futures beautiful. That's really what I want to do. I sound like such a like a commercial, but like, I, like, at the end of the day, that's really what I want to do. Because like, once you get surrounded in that negativity for so long, you start to think that like that environment and that world is what you deserve. But once you start to realize that, like, the positivity and the light and the love and everything else that comes with this new set of thinking, well, at least new for me, like, you are forever changed. And like, there's a whole other life that, like, you've been waiting for, that's finally here, and it's beautiful. So yeah.
You should have that commercial. That is, no, it has to be a commercial, girl, because the negativity, like you said, is just so pervasive, and it's so insidious, and it's so sneaky, and
so habitual.
Yes, habitual. It's not the big things. It's the little things that will add up and trip you up over time. And so, if you need to do that commercial, if you need to be a walking billboard for that, that's what we need. Absolutely. Like, it is too late to be holding yourself back. You know, is too late to be afraid of ridicule and persecution, because it's you're never going to try help others triumph over it and yourself if you're hiding yourself. And I've had that realization, like, really recently, like, embarrassingly recently. So, but yes.
The important thing to remember too is also, it is never too late to embrace the beauty that surrounds you.
Yes.
It is never too late to do that. And so well, I mean, if there's anybody listening who feels like that nothing is ever going to change, know that nothing is going to change for you. You have to be the one that incites that change. You have to be the one that looks into yourself and sees the stuff that maybe you don't think needs to be changed, but like, think of the way you interact with people. Think of the way that like stuff has been going for you lately, because usually you don't start to see your own problems until you really study your face in that mirror and you see beyond your eyeballs and you see into your soul and you see all of the things that, yes, it may work for you, but as soon as you start to see that like your ways are hurting others, you need to be the one that incites that change so you can act for yourself, but also act for the betterment of others as well. that's one of my things that I've really been looking at myself lately, because I just really want to, again, I am on this ever-changing journey of life. And I would rather live a life that is beautiful and surrounded by love than be alone and hate everything. So
you are creating your beautiful life one day at a time.
Exactly.
That's what beautiful creators do. And that's why you're on this podcast. Thank you so much. Thank you so much
for having me. I really appreciate it.
Ah, Ms. Dexie, you are absolutely a goddess, and we just have to have more of your goddess ways. So tell us where we can find you again. You also have a SoundCloud, and you left that out.
Oh, I do.
Don't leave that out this time.
Yeah, I do have a SoundCloud. I forgot. Okay, so my Instagram is at xodexie, xodexie. My Twitter is at Dexie Martin, DexieMartin. My SoundCloud is soundcloud.com/DexieMusic. And I am currently in the works of making a Facebook page, but that is not out yet. But yeah, so those are my social medias. And again, for YouTube, I don't know my exact URL. I should have did that before I got on here. But okay. Just go in and type in Dexie and you should be fine. You should be fine. But I would love to gain more people to share my beautiful life with. So if you feel like that's something that you want to come share with me, come give me a follow. I'm happy to have you.
You should. You really should. Thank you so much again, Dexie. I love you. And I love all of my listeners out there. I know that you're just reeling at this point, and you better follow her, because I am. And if I am, then you should too. I
can agree with that statement.
Yeah, exactly. I will see you next week, my beautiful, beautiful creators. But until then, let's go create beautiful things. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.
You thought this was over? Well, I'm sorry. I forgot to remind you that if you enjoyed this podcast, this topic was so important. If you know a beautiful creator who's really, really in need of Dexie's message, please, please share this with them. It would mean the world to Dexie and me if you would message us. She's at XODexie on Instagram, and I am at SteelMaggieHQ. We would love to hear what you have to say and how you benefited and the value you got from this episode. And if you haven't already, please, I would be so grateful if you would go and leave a brilliant, beautiful review for Mind Made Wrong wherever you listen, because it really helps spread the message of Mind Made Wrong and what we're trying to do here and all of our guests. And I appreciate it so, so much. So if you get value from what this podcast delivers, I would be so, so grateful. Thank you again for this little addendum. You may leave. Goodbye. See you next week.